Hello, this is Chris Yerkes reading to you from the July 23rd edition of the County Chronicle. We'll start with the first page stories. Arthur School Board, 3-year teacher contract approved. Editor's note, during the July 16th Arthur School Board meeting, there were serious allegations made against school employees, including allegations of failure to report abuse of a student. It is not the newspaper's position to determine the validity of such allegations, but it is our responsibility to report what was said in the public meeting. As no charges have been brought that we are aware of, it is important to note that these are allegations and all parties are innocent until proven guilty by law. By Ariana Cherry. Unrest continued at the Arthur School District No. 305 School Board meeting on Wednesday, July 16th. Over 30 people were in attendance, with several teachers present regarding their contract. Sharon Chupp spoke first during the public comment section of the meeting regarding Sean Davidson's letter to the editor in the newspaper the prior week. Chupp said, I have a student with an individualized educational program, IEP, and Sean has been his one-on-one assistant for the last 2 years. When my child was ready for high school, I knew he was getting a new one-on-one. I was nervous, not knowing how that was going to go or what his last 4 years were going to look like. I have to say, it has been the best thing ever. Sean has gone out of his way to help Lance so many times, not that he had to, but because he wanted to. She stated he asked if he could spend the last hour with him to help with his speech and other areas he needed help with, including his bathroom issues when no one else wanted to, and got him to where he knew the routine. On Christmas Eve, Sean and his wife stopped by the house to give my child a Christmas gift because he wanted to. My child has more confidence than ever before, talks so much more, and looks forward to going to school most days, Chupp commented. I would like to add that what would be a better way to impact a whole classroom versus just one child, she concluded. The next 7 people spoke regarding the collective bargaining agreement between the Arthur Education Association and the school district as follows. Katie Shoemaker, a 5th grade teacher at Atwood Hammond Grade School for 16 years, 22 as an educator, was the first to speak. I am a dedicated teacher who gives my all to the students and the community. My passion for education has always been at the heart of what I do, she began. According to the CUSD 305 contract, my years of service classify me as a teacher in longevity. The proposed contract says that a teacher with longevity will receive base pay based on the 2024-2025 contract pay scale, which recognizes longevity with a bachelor's degree at 18 years of service with a 3% raise. Meanwhile, my co-workers will be placed on the proposed contract pay scale, which extends the pay steps to 23 years of service with a 5.9% raise before entering longevity status. For example, my salary for the 2025-26 school year at Step 23 without Teacher Retirement System, TRS, I would make approximately $60,900, where if I were placed on the proposed contract pay scale for my 23 years of service, I would make approximately $66,000. This means that a teacher who reaches 19 years of service on the proposed contract will make more than me on the pay scale while having four fewer years of service, Shoemaker explained. This creates an unfair situation where a teacher with fewer years of service than I would make more money than me. This is the first time in my career when my salary be based on a previous contract pay scale rather than moving forward with my colleagues on the new scale, she added. Shoemaker concluded, I'm respectfully requesting to be placed in the 2025-2026 pay scale alongside my colleagues. I have dedicated 22 years to education, and I believe my years of service deserve fair and equal consideration and not to be penalized for my dedication. I respectfully ask that you consider tabling this contract and placing everyone on the same pay scale. Please value those who have been dedicated to the school district and to education. Mike Strack, husband of ALAH special education teacher Heather Strack, addressed the board again this month. Prior to the meeting, he emailed Superintendent Shannon Cheek on July 15th the following and also shared this during public comment. Strack said, I was shocked to hear about your participation in the July 14th, 2025 Arthur CUSD No. 305 union meeting, during which a proposed collective bargaining agreement, CBA, was presented, discussed, and voted upon. I am formally requesting that you immediately notify all certified teaching staff of serious legal and procedural violations that occurred during the meeting. He continued, as you are now aware, the meeting was conducted in a manner that raised multiple legal and ethical concerns, including the contract was presented via an inaccurate PowerPoint primary summary, which required mid-meeting corrections, no written version of the contract was distributed for review prior to the vote, and teachers were denied the opportunity to ask clarifying questions or raise concerns, especially after errors were discovered in the PowerPoint presentation. These irregularities have violated the Illinois Education Labor Relations Act, 115 ILCS 5, the Illinois School Code, 105 ILCS 5, and the duty of fair representation owed to union members. Moreover, more than a dozen teachers have expressed confusion and frustration about what occurred and whether their vote was based on accurate information. Strack asked Cheek to issue a district-wide email to all teaching staff to include acknowledgement that questions have been raised regarding the accuracy and legality of the July 14th union meeting and contract vote, an assurance that no contract will be finalized or implemented until the legality of the ratification process is reviewed, and a statement confirming the teachers have the right to file formal complaints with the appropriate authorities if they believe their rights were violated. Heather Strack, special education teacher for ALAH, spoke up as she did last month. "It was the worst experience of my life," she stated, referring to the meeting of the teachers' contract. "It was rushed and told it needed to be done by that day, so be ready for Wednesday. We were silenced and given no copies of the contract. We only saw a PowerPoint presentation," she said. Strack began to get emotional. "This is the first time in 28 years that my take-home pay has gone backwards. I don't understand the contract, and I don't want to be part of that contract. I'm not going to be treated the way I've been treated. I want it on record that I'm seeking other employment, but if I don't find that employment, I'll be back to serve the kids," Strack said. Kara Moffat, Livingston grade school teacher, 15 years, started by saying, "During my time at LGS, I witnessed our community face unimaginable hardships. I've sat with students in the aftermath of losing a parent, and I've stood beside grieving families who've lost their children. I've stayed after school with students who had no idea where they would sleep that night. This is the reality of teaching. It does not end when the school day is over. Our commitment to students follows us home through evenings, weekends, and summers. It's not a job. It's a lifeline for many of the children that we serve. And yet, like so many educators, I've carried this responsibility while facing immense personal challenges. My husband, Craig, also a teacher, is currently working three jobs this summer just to help cover childcare and basic expenses. Our childcare alone costs $625 per week, and we're required to pay through the summer months to maintain our spot. We've had to make hard decisions for our own family. Our four children are currently on state Medicaid because affording both childcare and employer-sponsored insurance was simply impossible. Prior to that, we were paying over $1,000 per month in health insurance premiums alone," she explained. Moffat continued on, "What I'm sharing tonight isn't unique to us. These stories reflect the reality that many teachers live each day giving their all to students while quietly struggling to care for their own families. Teachers are on the front lines. We're the familiar face when a child's world feels unstable. We're a safe space when there may not be one at home. We're often the only constant in a student's life. We do this work because we care, because we believe in the potential of every student who walks through our doors." She concluded by thanking the board members in Cheek for considering the raise and the additional sick days and the transition to bi-monthly pay schedule. Gabrielle Morrow, a pre-K teacher at Lovington Grade School, took the floor. "It took years to convince my husband to move here, but once we arrived, we never looked back. This is our home, a place we're proud of, a place that offers our child opportunities that other schools simply cannot compete with. We have built something truly special. Year after year, I'm amazed at the support our graduating seniors receive and the way we prepare them for workforce, college, or whatever path they choose. But tonight, I'm here heartbroken, because even in a place I love so dearly, I am terrified of what the future holds. My son is entering eighth grade. High school is just around the corner. But I ask, who will teach him?" Morrow spoke, "Our work doesn't stop at 3:40. We carry the weight of the day home with us, grading, data, paperwork, and preparation that eat into our family time. We show up at games, concerts, and events because we care about our kids. We don't do this for praise. We do it because it matters," she said. Morrow questioned the board in Cheek, "So I ask you, when will you make the hard decision to keep teachers here? When will you invest in people who make this district what it is?" In closing, she said, "We're not here tonight asking for luxuries. We're here asking for a livable wage, for dignity, for the ability to keep doing what we love in the community we love without sacrificing our own well-being to do it." Caitlin Martin, first grade teacher at Lovington, 4 years, addressed the board saying, "Our truth is we are now unfortunately making less money than we were before we had these careers as educators. Our total family income as two dedicated teachers with one child actually qualifies us for government assistance to cover things like insurance for Mercy, additional government money for food at home, and our children even qualifies for reduced lunches here at school. We're so incredibly grateful for this assistance, but it's undeniably sad that after investing in our education to better our family, we're financially worse off than we were before." She continued, "Teachers, raise your hand if you had any of this resonates with you. You purchase snacks for hungry kids. You show up to extracurricular events to support your students. You work a second job or more. You cover extra duties or unfilled positions at school. You continue your own education to better educate students. You have unofficial parent meetings all throughout the school year. You go to bed and wake up worried about our students' safety and well-being. You teach them basic life skills and you hope that would be taught at home. You've been told horrific things from students about their home lives. You work more than just one contact hours. You deal with unruly, destructive behaviors in the classroom. Martin ends by thanking each board member and the superintendent chief for their consideration regarding their raise in this new contract. Sixth grade teacher Emma McLean, a 2020 graduate of ALAH High School, stood up to share her concerns. Coming back to this district to teach was one of the easiest decisions I have ever made. I was welcomed back in these old hallways with memories and open arms. And still, when I have a problem or a bad day, I can lean on my teachers, now co-workers, for help or extra support. Some are even still here, let me cry on their shoulders when I need it. McLean continued, all of this to say, the emotional aspect of teaching is a very large portion of what we do. We tend to playgrounds, injuries, friendship spats, family troubles, students with stress or anxiety, and personally, a lot of that comes first before actual teaching. Teachers give more than just time. They give love, emotional labor, and themselves. At the end of the day, we don't just teach lessons, we shape lives. We give our evenings, our weekends, and pieces of our hearts to these students because we believe in them. But belief and passion alone can't sustain us. So when we ask for better pay, we're not asking out of greed, we're asking out of love. The same love that drove a teacher to the hospital to help my brother. The same love that fills our classrooms every day before and after the bell rings. The kind of love that gives and gives and gives, even when it's tired. That kind of work deserves recognition, it deserves respect, and it deserves to be paid. Wrapping up her speech, McLean concluded, so we thank you for coming to an agreement that will help us continue connecting with this community through love and learning. We hope our contract continues to reflect and reward the sacrifices that we make and will continue to make. Thank you for listening and thank you for valuing the people who pour their hearts into this district every single day. Maddie Lucas, a 2022 graduate of ALAH High School, addressed the board how bullying his high school students has affected her life. She started by saying, I once walked the halls of the school just like every other kid. I trusted in the adults around me and believed this was a place where students were supposed to feel safe, but that wasn't my experience. I was groomed by a school employee's husband, and Mrs. Siegmiller knew it. Instead of acting, she buried it, and I was bullied by Mrs. Siegmiller, by Mr. Seal. A teacher, another mandated reporter, did what she was supposed to do. She went to Mrs. Siegmiller. She begged her to help me, but Mrs. Siegmiller chose to do nothing. I was a student who spoke up when something wasn't right. I was a child who made awful decisions, and I've learned from them. But I was still a child. Mrs. Siegmiller judged me. She allowed others to judge me. She let it continue. She continued to let me be groomed. No voice for me. This destroyed me. I've been to therapy. I've been hospitalized. I've overdosed. Even after graduating, I'm still carrying what happened under her watch. The only teacher who truly tried to help me did so because it was the right thing to do. Everyone there was a mandated reporter, but she was the only one who acted like it. And now she's leaving me as she's sick of being disrespected and overlooked. She's walking away from your students, the ones she treated like her own, because this system rewards silence over integrity. I'm scared for the students coming next, for the ones who will walk down these halls without her, for the ones left with the people who failed me. I emailed this board. I told the truth. No one responded, Lucas said. She continued, and let me be clear, I'm not doing this for attention. I'm not doing this to be dramatic. I'm doing this because this has affected me for years, and now it's affecting the teachers who deserve everything this district refuses to give them. If you're going to keep handing out raises to people who don't deserve them, then start handing out some accountability too. This isn't just about me. Yes, I had an awful experience, but we could grow from it. We can't grow when the people responsible are still in power. Mrs. Siegmiller needs to be held accountable. I want to apologize. You were supposed to protect me and you didn't. So I'm not ending this with a thank you. I'm ending this with a mirror. I was the same age as your children and you let this happen to me. Lucas concluded with a question to the board and Cheek. Now ask yourselves, how many more voices have you silenced? How many more students have been hurt while you looked away? Why are teachers walking away or being forced to leave? And what are you so afraid that we'll uncover next? Similar to last month's meeting, echoes of applause were heard once again after an advocate, teachers, and former students voiced their concerns. The board went in to discuss the pros and cons of either tabling the Arthur Education Association contract or moving forward with it. These are the same conversations happening across the street on all boardrooms. Everybody sitting here is listening and knows what you are doing. You are heard, the board member Jenny said, board member Jenny Moore. I was fully expecting to come and vote yay on this tonight. I wasn't expecting to hear some of the comments here tonight. It's got me conflicted, commented Brock Castile. Are we okay with approving a contract where we are paying teachers with less experience more than teachers who have been here longer, he questioned. Mitch Fleming chimed in. What if we table this contract? What can happen? Are we bargaining in bad faith once they've approved it? I don't think the union or the board went about it lightheartedly. There was a lot of back and forth. I personally appreciate all of our teachers, staff, and administration for all the things that they do. There are no hard feelings this way, and I've sat in your shoes. It's not an easy thing for either side, said Monica Green. After a lengthy discussion by board members, the vote was taken. Voting results were 6 yeas and 1 nay from Brock Castile. The motion passed. Other items discussed and voted upon. A June bank statement balance was $1,400,000. The balance of the education fund was $8,466,000. Transportation fund was $623,000. And the building fund was $2,390,000. Meeting dates for the 2025-2026 school year approved. August 20th at Lovington High School, September 7th at ALAH High School, October 15th at Atwin Hammond Grade School, November 19th at ALAH High School, December 17th at Lovington Grade School, January 21st at ALAH High School, February 8th at Atwood Hammond Grade School, March 18th at ALAH High School, April 15th at Lovington Grade School, May 20th ALAH High School, and June 17th at Atwood Hammond Grade School. Approved to use Ashby Therapy Services for speech services for the 2025-2026 school year. Cheek stated that he would be meeting with BLDD and CRE to have a discussion regarding how initial progress, process, and how the school project would begin. What would it be like to remove the kids from the building? And what would it look like to do the project in phases? Cheek shared photos of cracks that are in the planters at Arthur Grade School. There's some issues with the planter boxes, and there are cracks in them. I probably won't address this summer, but we will need to gather information on how to take care of them, he stated. The landscaping in front of Atwood Hammond and Lovington Grade School will be done soon, he also stated. Cheek thanked the summer crew and complimented all the buildings are commented that all the buildings are coming along great. He also thanked administrative staff for all their hard work and those who are responsible for getting the pickleball courts completed and ready. Personnel report certified. Hired David Meyer for social studies at LGS, replacing Stacy Bryson. Hired Brittany Trupa for art at AHGS and LGS. Hired Michelle Godby for JH Science at AHGS, replacing Tim Mansell. Non-certified. Hired Heather Obil as a paraprofessional at LGS, replacing Ashley Merrick. Extracurricular. Hired Adam Reel as the LAH High School junior class sponsor, replacing Joel Lee. Approved Mackenzie Thomas as JH Softball Volunteer Assistant Coach. The next article, Villa Grove City Council. City generator installed at city building. Public Works Director Mark McSell noted the generator had been installed at the city building and Ameren was set to complete power service to it at the Villa Grove City Council meeting. He then noted that tree work was set to begin at the end of July and concrete work would commence in August. He stated that he and his crew were preparing to rebuild the docks at the John Leon Reservoir and the fish count had been completed in late June, but the numbers had still not been reported. McSill also stated that the company that had treated the reservoir in the spring would be doing a follow-up work to remediate the plants growing along the banks. He also stated that the company had treated the reservoir in the spring would be doing follow-up work to remediate the plants growing along the banks. He also said the company had treated the reservoir in the spring would be doing follow-up work remediating the plants growing along the banks. He also said that DNR had discussed a boat ramp and fishing dock grants that might be available. Finally, he noted that he had a person in mind for a part-time position and the council gave a consensus to move forward. Administrator Jackie Athey then reported that she was working on the audit and that she, Mayor Rasmussen, and the engineers would be meeting regarding development of the north parcels. Bob Reed, director of the Community Center Programs and Services, then reported that the splash pad still had to be turned on and off manually and that both he and McSell had been in consultation with the vendor to track down the problem. He also noted that he had met with the Upland Design concerning the OSLAD grant. The council then moved to new business. First on the agenda was approval of Ordinance 2025 MC13, which approved a contract to sell real estate located on East Harrison Street by the city. Next, Resolution 2025-R03, a resolution adopting the 2024 Douglas County Multi-Jurisdictional All-Hazards Mitigation Plan was unanimously approved. The council then approved pay request number 3 from Mid-Illinois Concrete in the amount of $124,000 for the parking lot project at the Recreation Center. The council then unanimously finalized a decision to require Ag Day food vendors to have their permits completed before Ag Day starts on Friday night. Donnie Patton is in communication with vendors regarding this issue. It was the council's decision that it wasn't the office staff's responsibility to chase down permits from those not in compliance. After much discussion and input given from the city inspector and the city fire marshal, the council voted unanimously not to approve a request for variance for maximum capacity for the Tri-City Country Club. The council then voted with Tony Hooker casting the lone dissenting vote to approve termination of the CRP contract on land recently purchased north of McCoy subdivision. Next, the council authorized the sale of surplus equipment from both fire department and the public department. Finally, the city approved contract authorizing local arborists to remove two additional ash trees in addition to the work already contracted. Finding no other business, Alderman Tony Hooker called for adjournment at 6:55 p.m. The next article, Arcola City Council. Council prepares for Broomcorn Festival by Ben Crane. In a 9-minute meeting Monday night, the Arcola City Council approved the request of the Illinois Department of Transportation for a temporary closure of Route 133 for the Broomcorn Festival Parade. The council also approved the 2024 Douglas County Multi-Jurisdictional All-Hazard Mitigation Plan. The plan makes the city eligible for emergency funding in the event of a natural disaster. Finally, the council approved a variance for the property at 430 East Madison for a non-conforming porch, which was approved in committee earlier this month. In the Budget and Finance Committee meeting, they approved an additional $150,000 to the Main Street project. And the last first page article, Mediation Leads to 3-Year Contract for Arthur Teachers by Ben Crane. Teachers in Arthur Community Unit District 305 will see pay raises, improved sick leave, and increased stipends for extracurricular duties after the school board meeting approved a new 3-year contract during its Wednesday night meeting. After months of negotiation and assistance from mediator, the Arthur Education Association, the AEA, and the school board reached an agreement that union president Jessica Van Osdal said reflect the teachers' dedication and longstanding concerns about wages and benefits. We started about 9:30 or 10 a.m. and came to the agreement around 4:30, Van Osdal said, the final day of negotiations. The mediator was instrumental in helping us all see eye to eye. The new agreement includes a 4% annual raise for teachers plus a traditional 1.9-step increase for experience, totaling 5.9 yearly pay bump for most teachers not in the longevity range. Van Osdal noted that securing an equal raise to that of administrators who have received 4% increases in recent years was a major priority among teachers. Our members did not want to accept anything less than what administrators were receiving, she said. We're the ones working directly with students doing the extra duties, and we felt we deserved the same. The contract also improves sick leave, allowing it to grow over time for long-term employees. Insurance costs will increase slightly, and some assistant coaches and sponsors will receive stipend raises. Stipends for extracurricular roles, such as the play director, which has remained unchanged for years, were updated to reflect the growing demands of these positions. Outdated positions were removed from the schedule. Van Osdal credited heartfelt testimony from teachers during public board meetings as an important influence in the negotiations. Van Osdal, a lifelong Arthur resident and graduate of Arthur High School, said she hopes the contract not only rewards current teachers, but helps retain and attract new ones in an increasingly challenging hiring environment. People want to come here because it was good, she said. We're trying to make this the best place we can for students, and when you do that, teachers will follow. Superintendent Shannon Cheek expressed appreciation for the union's leadership and called the resolution of the contract a positive step forward. With a negotiated contract ratified, we can now shift our focus to starting the school year and serving students of the Arthur CUSD 305 School District, Cheek said. We have great students and staff, and we're excited to see everyone in August. Cheek also shared updates on the district's facilities. A recent Health Life Safety HLS amendment approved by the Illinois State Board of Education will allow the district to begin planning major upgrades at the high school, including the long-awaited installation of air conditioning. Providing the staff with AC is almost a given in 2025, Cheek said. We've had to shorten the school day at the start and end of the year in the past because of heat. Eliminating that loss of instructional time will be a huge benefit. The district is also in early conversations with architects to modernize classrooms, expand vocational spaces, and create environments better suited to 21st century learning. With contract negotiations resolved and facilities planning underway, the district leaders and teachers alike are hopeful that Arthur CUSD 305 can continue to grow as a place where educators want to stay and return. This contract, Van Osdal said, helps us make Arthur a place where both students and teachers can thrive. There are no obituaries this week, so the next article, Duncan, More Work to be Done for Increased Trade, by Brian Duncan of the Illinois Farm Bureau. Illinois Farm Bureau has long championed new and diverse market opportunities while fighting to eliminate trade barriers that hinder the agricultural economy of Illinois and the nation. Illinois farmers rely on access to foreign markets to sell their products, from corn, soybeans, ethanol, beef, pork, and more. With the continuing pressure on farm income, trade remains a top priority in response to sweeping global tariffs, many of which have since been rolled or paused, and reciprocal actions abroad. We've quickly intensified our efforts to boost global markets access and stress the importance of trade with all decision makers. This is why Illinois Farm Bureau continues to push for signed long-term trade deals. We and County Farm Bureau leaders have held regular conversations with President Donald Trump's administration, including USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins, as well as the Illinois congressional delegation. I have personally made multiple trips to Washington, D.C. this spring and summer to underscore how critical it is for our farmers to maintain and expand trade relationships and eliminate existing trade barriers through support of bilateral, regional, and multilateral free trade agreements. While we welcome the temporary progress on the U.S.-China negotiations and discussion with the U.K., much more work is needed to ensure long-term fair access for American farmers. This is especially true in areas such as non-science-based phytosanitary requirements that serve non-tariff trade barriers. From my farm and in my travels across Illinois, I see how essential trade is. Our roads, railways, and waterways move not just our products, but our entire economy forward. We cannot afford to let trade policy stagnate. Our world is increasingly competitive and complex. We need trade to solidify agriculture's strategic position in it. The path ahead requires commitment and consistency. Our farmers deserve trade policies that reflect the immense value they bring to the nation and to the world. It's time for leaders to resolve lingering disputes and eliminate contentious trade barriers. We're ready to compete. Just give us a fair shot. Brian Duncan farms in Ogle County, serves as Illinois Farm Bureau president. This story was distributed through a cooperative project between Illinois Farm Bureau and the Illinois Press Association. For more farm and food farming news, visit farmweek.now.com. And last, we have the Ramblin' Man article by David Porter. Skepticism is healthy but doesn't prove anything. I think science is a little underrated. We use it way more than we realize. We've been having some work done around our house, and there's a lot of science and math involved in making things straight and level while also making sure that water runs in the direction we want. I was moving some heavy boxes on a cart and ran into a boatload of science. Science was both the problem and the solution. The boxes had been delivered to our drive and were behind my car, so I had to move them to get my car out, and I figured it'd be less exhausting to move them all together. The four boxes were each about 7 feet long and over 100 pounds, so they were heavy and awkward to lift by myself. I have a small table on wheels, one of science's great inventions, so I flipped the boxes onto the table so I could move them together. The plan was going fine till the wheels and the cart got stuck in the gap in the concrete between the garage and the driveway. The gap's important scientifically. It's an expansion gap so the concrete doesn't crack with changes in temperature. I couldn't simply push harder on the cart to get past the gap. The gap is wide enough and deep enough that pushing would have just put more downward pressure on the stuck wheels. I couldn't pick the table up. Besides the awkward positioning, it had over 600 pounds on it. I'm a human, not a he-man. I grabbed a long metal pole from the garage. It's an old post that I salvaged when we took down our mesh fence. It can be used as a lever, a roller, and a bottle rocket launcher. You don't throw away stuff like that. I was able to use the pole as a lever to lift one end of the table. It's amazing how much weight you can lift with a lever. Science. Lifting the front wheels made the rear wheels advance, so when I set the front wheels back down, they were now past the gap. I credit my high school science teacher, Kay Kleiss, for knowing just what to do. I'm just glad the two slabs I was transversing were level. Otherwise, the whole thing would have slid into the street. I'm not some kind of big science nerd. I think science is hard. Chemistry and biology and physics are complicated, and new discoveries are being made all the time. Old theories get disproved, and new ones are proffered. Truth is provisional based on what we know at the time. The irony of those who seem to mistrust science is the most lack of the fundamental knowledge to discern plausibility. Chris Christopherson summed it up in his song, Jesus Was a Capricorn. Most of us hate anything that we don't understand. I guess I'm a little more trusting. I don't understand how radios work, or computers, or MRI machines, or even gasoline engines. I don't have the education or experience to know how they work, have the ability to learn, but choose to learn other stuff instead. I can relate to scientists, though, because nobody is trusted less these days than journalists. It's always a treat to be disparaged for a skill you've spent 40 years studying and practicing by someone who can't identify a compound modifier. I think that's why they invented the word pshaw. Scientists get it wrong sometimes, as do doctors and lawyers and journalists, but they're not all wrong all the time. Just because one invention doesn't go as well as expected doesn't mean I'm going to question the veracity of my lever. Skepticism is healthy, but it doesn't prove anything. And that is all we have time for this week. This is Chris Yerkes saying goodbye, and see you again next week.